Good morning, Mission Gathering. Happy Time Change Sunday. I don't know about you, but I guess I didn't read all the emails from the church this week, and I thought church was starting at 10:30 today. Found out it was actually still starting at 10, so I'm glad I got here early so I could actually share the message. We're continuing our Lenten series on letting go, and today we're talking about expectations. And since I woke up kind of early this morning because of the time change and just kind of being mindful of today's message, I came across a joke that I thought met not only expectations, but also talks about time changes and what happens with the light and the dark. Two factory workers are talking, and the woman says to her male counterpart, "I can make the boss give me the day off." And the man replies, "How are you going to do that?" The woman says, "Just wait and see." She then hangs upside down from the ceiling, and the boss comes in and says, "What are you doing?" And the woman replies, "I'm a light bulb." Boss says, "You've been working way too much. You've gone a little crazy. I'm going to give you the rest of the day off." The man starts to follow her, and the boss says, "Where are you going?" And the man says, "I'm going home. I can't work in the dark." I think that's why they did this whole daylight savings time thing, because of people working in the dark, the farmers, or something about that. But anyhow, today we're going to talk about expectations. And right now I want to encourage you to let go of any expectations that you might have this morning. Expectations of how nice that person seated next to you is going to be to you for the rest of the day. Or the expectation of where your friends are going to invite you to brunch after church is over. Or the expectation you might have after the announcement today, who's going to win the chili cook-off? I hear some people, and I won't point directly who, but they're already buying their ingredients for the chili cook-off 2 weeks from now, so there's some expectation going on there. You might have an expectation of how things are going to go at work this week, or you might even have an expectation about how long this message is going to be, and hopefully I won't disappoint you there. But I could go on and on and on about expectations. And the thing I hate to say is about those expectations, about those hopes, about those dreams we have in life, sometimes they just don't go as planned, as we hope for. And you might be saying already, "Well, Mark, why are you being so melancholy? Or why are you being a Danny Downer? Or why do you want to be messed up Magus?" Well, my response to this is, when it comes to our hopes, our dreams, and expectations, when they don't go as planned, how do we often then feel? And this is going to be audience participation today. So when you don't get your expectations met, how do you usually feel? Frustrated, upset, that kind of thing. And so what I want to look at today is, how do we go about being less frustrated in life? How do we go about not being so upset when things don't go perhaps our way? And what I like to do today is share from the New Testament and the Old Testament two characters, Abraham from the Old Testament and Nicodemus from the New Testament. And if you got the church newsletter this last week, part of the passages that we're going to be looking at today were mentioned in one of the newsletters that went out, in terms of if you wanted to prepare ahead of time. We're going to be looking today at Genesis chapter 12 and John chapter 3. And we're going to look at the point of when God gets involved in our hopes and our dreams and our expectations, it can make all the difference in the world. In fact, it oftentimes makes a difference to the world when God is involved in what we're doing. So let's start with Abraham. And we're going to be looking today, like I said, at Genesis chapter 12. How many people remember Abraham from maybe growing up and going to Sunday school? And he actually was the patriarch of three religions here in the world. What are those three religions? Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. Very good. Wish I could give out gold stars, but I don't want to get you guys too entitled. Anyhow, yes, God started his salvation plan way back in the day with Abraham. And this was after the time of the Tower of Babel, if you're reading Genesis chapter 11. And Abram started out with that name Abram, meaning the father exalted. And then later, as God made his covenant with Abraham, saying, "I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to have a multitude follow after you," he then gave him the name Abraham, which signified this cult, covenant, and that the fact that he was going to be the father of a multitude. And God promised that Abraham and Sarah were going to have a son. And if you recall back from the days of Sunday school, Abraham was close to 100 years old when this was going to happen. And his wife Sarah was about 90 years old. Now, I don't know too many couples at that age who are giving birth to children nowadays, or one, for that matter, or at any age for that matter. But yes, this is what God promised. And Abraham believed in that promise. He knew that God was going to follow through in bringing that child eventually. But, you know, sometimes when we're waiting on God, we get a little anxious. We get a little impatient. And sometimes we even take things into our own hands. And that's what happened with Abraham and Sarah. In fact, Abraham was getting so impatient that Sarah came up with an idea. And it's like, here's my maidservant, Hagar. Why don't you sleep with her, have a child, start this blessing thing that God's talked about. Everything will be cool. And there about from that union came Ishmael, who eventually became the father of what race? Muslims and the Arabs, yes. So from that act that Abraham took upon himself by having that child with Hagar, he went outside of God's promise. And it wasn't until later that when Abraham and Sarah actually had that child and had Isaac in that union is the time when God was going to bless that person, that individual, and go forth in terms of that group of people known as the Israelites. But let's look at that passage in particular that we wanted to read today, and that's Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. And it reads, God told Abraham, leave your country, your family, and your father's home, and for a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation and bless you. I will make you famous. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Those who curse you, I'll curse. All the families of earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left as God said, and Lot left with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. So this was about 25 years before he actually had Isaac with Sarah, his wife. But imagine if you were Abraham today and you had heard her voice. You might be saying, I think I need some antipsychotic medication. Especially if that voice is telling you to pack up all your earthly belongings, pack up your family, leave the land that you've been a part of for decades, and move hundreds of miles away to an unknown land. If you were in Abram's shoes, you'd probably say, well, can I afford a house there? What kind of schools do they have for my children? Will I be able to make friends in this new area? And do they have In-N-Out hamburgers? Because if they don't have In-N-Out hamburgers, I am not going. I've actually heard people make decisions on moves because of In-N-Out. But moreover, think of the expectations that Abraham was given by God. And that was that he was going to bring forth a great nation. That he was going to be famous. That he was going to allow him to be a blessing. And that through him, all the earth was going to be blessed. And what did God mean by that when he gave that promise to Abram? How was Abram going to bless the whole world? Who was going to come out of his lineage? Jesus, exactly. So from Jesus, the whole world was eventually going to have that great blessing that we're going to talk about later as we look at Nicodemus. So guess what? At the ripe old age of 75, Abraham packs up everything, packs up the family, and takes off to that land that God indicated for him to follow to. And had Abraham not obeyed, what do you think would be the situation today? God probably still would have worked out his salvation plan through somebody else, but he had a plan through Abram to get that process going. And I remember when I was in my mid-20s, finishing graduate school in Chicago, I had the opportunity to leave Chicago and travel 900 miles south to a place called East Texas. And as I soon say that word Texas, some of you are already probably cringing, but I had an opportunity to travel to East Texas and become director of residence life at Luterna University in Longview, Texas. At that time, it was a small Christian institution, mainly for people who wanted to study either engineering or aviation. And the reason why they called me down there to candidate for that position is that they had had 5 directors of residence life in 5 years. And they wanted somebody to come in, take the role, kind of stay there for a while, and create some stability for their residence life, fraternities, and married student housing program. And I'll never forget the day that I flew down there in May of 1988. I was touring the campus, and I was with one of the hall directors at the time, and we had been driving around town, kind of looking at the sights of Longview, which aren't much to speak of. And as we were coming back to campus, the residence hall that he was responsible for was going up in flames. And there was a bunch of fire trucks around, and people were milling about, running around, and it was just kind of chaos to the max. And he said, I think we better pull in and check out what's going on. And I said, yes, since you're the hall director, I would strongly recommend that. So we pull in, and we see all this mayhem taking place. And I just look at the people running around and people trying to evacuate the building properly and everything, and I said to myself, dang, this place is a mess. They do need someone to come in here and straighten things out. So on my return to Chicago, it wasn't long after that that I got a call back from Laterno. They said, hey, we would like to offer you the position of Director of Residence Life. And I thought, hey, considering the structure and everything that they need, I would love to go in there for the challenge. But I remember the psych hospital where I was working that time as a mental health counselor. I told my peers that I said, I believe God is calling me to Longview, Texas. And they thought, okay, you're just as crazy as the people that you are counseling right now. You are in need of medication. And the fact that you believe that God is calling you and you want to move to a place of from 3 million people here in Chicago to a town of 75,000 where you don't know anyone, what's going on with that, Mark? They couldn't believe that that kind of craziness was going on in my life, that I wanted to uproot everything and leave Chicago and go to Longview, Texas. But I have to say, it was probably one of the best decisions I ever made in my life in terms of professionally speaking, socially speaking, emotionally speaking, because by making that move to Longview and leaving Chicago, I had the opportunity for the next 5 years to minister to countless students, to serve as a director of residence life, to serve as a residence hall director for hundreds of students, to eventually become the singles adult Sunday school teacher at a large Baptist church there, then to move on to become a therapist at one of the psych hospitals in that town, and to be a friend, and to have the opportunity to interact with countless people over those 5 years. And that would not have happened had God not moved me out of Chicago. Sure, I still could have had those opportunities there at that psych hospital and with that circle of friends that I had in Chicago, but that changed significantly with that move to Longview, Texas. So this leads me to one of three principles that I want to share with you today about expectations. And the first one is, expect that a great God has great plans for us. Now, I'm a little leery about using the word great, considering our current commander-in-chief and how he loves that word, but I want to use it today in terms of, yes, we serve a great God, and he has a plan for each and every one of you here in this room today. You may not have lived into that plan yet. You may not know the specifics of what that is for you on this day in 2017, but I truly believe in my faith with my Lord and Savior that he does have a plan for each one of us. And he may not necessarily move you hundreds of miles away from San Diego in the coming days to live out that plan, though he could, but he may want to move you outside of your comfort zone and to do something that's totally something that you've never experienced before. And usually when he does that kind of thing, he makes that kind of effort in your life, it's usually going to have some kind of effect on the souls, on those people around you. Whether it be that circle of friends that you have here in San Diego, or those people that encircle us outside this community of San Diego that you might impact. Because it definitely, that plan that he had for Abraham made a difference, as we know, even to this day as we live out that religion that he founded. And it also had an impact on me in terms of the opportunities that I had in Texas. But it may have opportunities for you here at Mission Gathering. In fact, you could find yourself maybe helping out with the Little Villagers once a month, or getting involved or leading one of our small groups each week, or volunteering with Urban Street Angels on an occasional basis. Or it may even cause you to do something outside of these four walls. In fact, today you might decide, hey, I'm going to go home and be the best parent that I can be from this day forward. Or I'm going to be a better spouse or partner to that loved one that I've called my partner. Or I'm going to make a difference in this world, maybe even at work, that people are going to say, what has gotten into you? Hopefully you won't be hanging from the ceilings pretending that you're a light bulb or anything, but there's going to be something different about you because you're going to live out that plan that God has for you in your life. So let's look at our second character that I wanted to look at today, and that's Nicodemus. And for there, we're going to turn to John chapter 3 and get better acquainted with him. There was a man of the Pharisee sect, Nicodemus, a prominent leader among the Jews, Late one night, he visited Jesus and said, "Rabbi, we all know you're a teacher straight from God. No one could do all the God-pointing, God-revealing acts you do if God weren't in it." And Nicodemus, being of that Pharisee sect, definitely had the religion thing down. He had the behaviors down, he knew the rules, he knew the regulations, and he also knew to be with Jesus might have been a death sentence for him, because Jesus was seen as a rebel, a person who was stirring things up. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, as we find out later on in the Bible, wanted to do him in. But Nicodemus had questions. Nicodemus wanted to find answers. And so he sought out Jesus that night. And Jesus said, "You're absolutely right. Take it from me. Unless a person is born from above, it's not possible to see that I'm pointing to God's kingdom." "How can anyone say," said Nicodemus, "be born who has already been born and grown up? You can't re-enter your mother's womb and be born again. What are you saying with this born from above talk?" And Jesus said, "You're not listening. Let me say it again. Unless a person submits to his original creation, the wind hovering over the water creation, the invisible moving, the invisible, a baptism of new life, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom." And imagine Jesus' frustration when he's saying there, "You're not listening." In fact, if he was talking today, it's like, "Hey, dude, you're just not getting it." And here he is, a religious leader, and Jesus is talking to him in spiritual terms, and there's just not that connection. So yes, our Lord, our Savior, was maybe a little frustrated at this point that he wasn't making that connection with Nicodemus. But going on, when you look at a baby, it's just that, a body that you can look at and touch. But the person who takes shape within is formed by something you can't see and touch, the spirit, and becomes a living spirit. And that's what Jesus is trying to get across to Nick right now, is this thing that's involved in the spiritual rebirth is just that. It's spiritual. Babies, you can see them. It's tactile. You can touch them. But what happens within you when you change your life, when you give your life over to Christ, is something supernatural. It's something spiritual. In fact, that spirit that's within you, that living part within you, is the real you. And sometimes we forget about that. Sometimes we get really caught up in the outward us or the outward you. And there's a lot of you who look really fine today, and there's some of us in this room who need some work today. But the one that's in you, the real you, the spirit you, is the one that God cares the most about. And that's the one who he wants to see us have that rebirth, that supernatural experience with. And that's what he was trying to get across to Nicodemus. But Nicodemus, being that spiritual leader, rules, laws, regulations, was way too caught up in that formal way of thinking. Further on, he said, "So don't be surprised when I tell you that you have to be born from above, out of this world, so to speak. You know well enough how the wind blows this way and that. You hear it rustling through the trees, but you have no idea where it comes from or where it is headed next." That's the way it is with everyone born from above, by the wind of God, the Spirit of God. And Nicodemus asks, "What do you mean by this? How does this happen?" And Jesus replies, "You're a respected teacher of Israel, and you don't know these basics. Listen carefully. I'm speaking sober truth to you. I speak only what I know by experience. I give witness only to what I've seen in my own eyes. There is nothing secondhand here, no hearsay." Yet instead of facing the evidence and accepting it, you procrastinate with questions. And the reason why I have procrastinated highlighted there is we're going to be speaking to it at the end of the message, but when it comes to living out life, when it comes to maybe following through on God's expectations, how many of us do just what Nick's doing right here? And that's procrastinate. We put off. We wait. We think, well, there's always tomorrow. Or as Jesus is saying here, you're asking too many questions. We're putting up excuses and all kinds of things. Rather than act in that moment, we say procrastination becomes our friend. "If I tell you these things that are plain as the hand before your face and you don't believe me, what use is it telling you of things that you can't see, the things of God? No one has ever gone up into the presence of God except the one who came down from that presence, the Son of Man. In the same way that Moses lifted up the spirit in the desert so people could have something to see and then believe, it is necessary for the Son of Man to be lifted up, and everyone who looks upon him, trusting and expectant, will gain a real life, eternal life. And here Jesus is very early in this letter speaking to his death that is coming up later on. This is how much God loved the world, that he gave his Son, his only one and only Son, and this is why that no one needs to be destroyed by believing in him. Anyone can have a whole and lasting life. John 3:16, probably one of the best verses in the Bible that we know of. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help and to put the world right. And how much do we need that today? Someone to put the world right. Jesus isn't here right now physically present with us. He is spiritually, yes. But he's counting on us to kind of put that back into play, to help put the world right. And so a second principle that I'd like to share this morning is this. Our faith in Christ expects less than the religion around us. The point that I think Jesus was trying to make that evening with Nicodemus was this. Is you can really get caught up in all the behaviors, the things that you have to do right within the Judaic religion in order to feel like you have a right relationship with God. But what I'm saying is, when you have faith in me, when you just trust in me, when you allow that spiritual rebirth to take place, that's the main thing, done, over with. You don't have to get caught up in all those religious trappings. And yet, Nicodemus was looking for deeper answers. He was looking for something that he had to do personally other than just put his faith in Christ. And I love when Pastor Rich shares with us oftentimes and talks about religion in general. He says it's really involved with behavior modification. That's what so many denominations and so many religions want you to do, is to change your behavior in order to be considered a good person. But what Nicodemus is saying here, what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus is this, is you don't need to follow those traditional religious trappings. You just need to trust in me. And that's hard for some of us to do, is to put that trust in God, is to put that trust in Christ when we are too caught up in our traditions, in our procrastination, in anything that may want to trip us up. So I love the fact that the message puts it in those ending verses there in John about Jesus coming to the world to make things right, because we need that on so many levels. And in closing, there's one more principle that I'd like to share before I even have some of us share today, and that's this. Today's experience is much more important than tomorrow's expectations. Today's experience is much more important than tomorrow's expectations. I believe so many of us live into what I call future living. We say things like this and we start to believe them, that I'm going to be a better partner or spouse eventually. Or I expect to be making six figures down the road. Or I hope to find more time to spend with my kids someday. Or I dream of a day where I'm not going to be under so much stress. The thing is, we get so busy setting up these expectations and planning and hoping and dreaming that we fail to live in the moment, in the experience of today. And living in the moment, to me, at least the way I define it, is making the best of what we have right now. That's making the best of what we have right now. I think Paul even says in the New Testament, I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. Rather than worrying about tomorrow or hoping for next week or what the next year is going to plan, I can live in the moment of today and know that I can be at peace and that I can live a fulfilled life in that experience today. And what that usually involves is deeper connections with the people around us. They could be our friends, our family, or they could be us reaching out to people beyond our current circle of friends and making a difference in their lives. Because, you know, Jesus had it right when he was talking to Nicodemus. Of course he did, because he was the Son of God. But when he used the word procrastinate, he knew, just like Nicodemus, we all kind of act in that way. We put it off, we ask too many questions, and sometimes we just need to get her done. So life's too short. And none of us in this room are guaranteed a tomorrow. So I encourage each of us to live into every day and experience that life that Jesus was talking about, that whole, that abundant life, that long-lasting life. Oftentimes, I think John 3:16 looks at life after death, everlasting life, but I think there's also implications for how we live life today. And as I was sharing with one of my small groups this last week, we were talking about expectations and life experience and things going on in our present moment. And what I wanted to do today as we kind of close out the service is this, is what is God doing in your life that is maybe exceeding your expectations? Or what is God doing in your personal experience that you want to share with your brothers and sisters in this room today, something fantastic that just has blown your socks off because of how faithful he is? And with this mic that he was using earlier, I would just like to give the opportunity, and I'll come rushing out to whoever wants to raise their hand. If there is something you want to share about what God is doing in your life today, this is the opportunity to share it with the rest of your brothers and sisters, because who knows, you might provide them some encouragement that they've been struggling with because their expectations just haven't been met. They have not seen or had that personal experience with God, but maybe something that you can share this morning might be a trigger for them. So is there someone or a number of people who'd like to share what God has been doing in your life as of late? David, I see that hand.
For some reason,
It's on.
I can remember when World War II ended, and I was only four, but I can remember it like it was yesterday, because everybody in town was beating on dishpans and honking horns and shooting off guns and all that stuff, and it was announced the end of the war, and I couldn't tell you what I had for lunch yesterday, and it made me to realize that we spend so much time living with our memories in the past and way too much time worrying about the future, which we have oftentimes no control over, to the point to where we miss today altogether. It goes by like a train and we didn't see it coming.
Thank you. Somebody else. Jeff.
Sometime last year, Erica, she gave a sermon about how we need to live into our faith and not just come to church on Sundays and then forget about walking the walk of Jesus the rest of the week. And she had given all of us index cards to write on it how we were going to make our life dedication of service, whether it was homeless, children, seniors, and I wrote on there that I wanted to help seniors, and so I've been doing that in different ways, volunteering once a month, and developing a program, like a storytelling workshop that I'm looking forward to bringing to different senior homes, where it will kind of combine the elderly person and then one of their children or grandchildren, and because of my background as a filmmaker, it's like it's bringing all of my biggest passions together into one. And before, because I have a full-time job, but then I work on different ventures, entrepreneurial ventures on the side. And normally it's always been exhausting for me to get off work and then I have to do one more thing. And now it's been really exciting and empowering, and I feel energized when I'm working on it, and it feels like all of the things, all the gifts that I have, the things that I'm naturally passionate about are all kind of coming aligned into one, and so I'm really excited about it.
Great, thank you. Somebody else.
just the fact that you are passing this microphone around, this church, this body, the opportunity that we have to connect here as followers of Jesus or maybe not followers of Jesus in this community. I was just talking to a friend about how sometimes we're a fairly transient community, and I don't know most of the people that I see here, but giving us the opportunity to connect with each other and our experience with God is something that doesn't happen everywhere, and it doesn't always happen here the way that it needs to. And I would encourage all of us to look around at the individuals that are here, because largely the experiences we've had in other church communities, and appreciate that we have a common goal of love and unity and making a better world, and pray for each other and get to know each other. I'm the great thing I think God is doing is this.
Thank you. Yeah, I remember 7 years ago when I came here to Mission Gathering on the invitation of my ex-partner. I said, well, that's your church. I don't want to invade your space. He said, no, this is the place you need to belong. And for a number of months, I didn't feel connected to this body because, well, I felt like the outsider. I felt like the bad guy in the relationship who caused the breakup. And it wasn't until I got involved in leadership and working with some of the small groups that I felt connected to this body of believers. And it made all the difference in the world for me. And so I would encourage you, if you don't feel like you have the true connection to this church, seek out one of our lay pastors like myself and ask, how can I be plugged into this body, this very special place known as MG? Because it can make a world of difference, not only in your life, but in the lives of the people around you. Lee.
Yeah, so for some of you who don't know me, I've been traveling, working temporarily up in LA and coming down for the weekends. And this isn't so much expectation, but I wanted to share a story that happened to me about 3 weeks ago, and it was totally unexpected. It was a Sunday at about 5:30. I was about to head back up to LA to start work on that Monday morning. I packed my two dogs, got everything in the car, and about 45 minutes later, I realized, shoot, I don't have my cell phone with me. The address to get to the house that I'm living at during the week is on that phone. Long story short, I started to backtrack, so it must be in the car. So I go in the car, there's no phone. And then about an hour, I realized I must have dropped it along the path as I was walking my girls to do their business, all right? Because it's a three-hour drive, so my two puppies, you don't want to have that happening in your car. I did not expect to find my phone. I said, well, you know what? I'll go to the iPhone website, and I'll, you know, find my lost phone. And then I forgot my password. So I said, okay, I don't have my password, but it's okay. It's going to go to, I can log into Yahoo. I'll send it to my Yahoo account. I go into my Yahoo account to retrieve that password. Well, now there's this secondary authentication. It's sending a code to my lost phone. Totally unexpected. I expected to get the code on the phone, but not having my phone. And it's very relevant in this experience because it became 6:30, 7:30, and I'm at wit's end. I started to question everything that had happened in my whole life up to that. You're desperate, right? Because everything is in that phone. And it got to the point where God did not come into the picture. So I backtracked with my dogs in the dark with a flashlight trying to act normal. And I really lost all hope. But there's this one green zone where I live. For those of you that may have gone to Ponce's in Kensington, that's where I take my dogs for a walk. And there's this, we call it the green zone. And it was dark, and I just started to scan the whole field, and nothing. And I was really, really desperate. I felt everyone left me. I thought God left me. you know, my spouse, he's been traveling in D.C., and, you know, I sent emails saying, hey, can you call my phone? No response. So I was disheartened. I started to walk, continue on the path with my dogs to find my phone. And I don't know if I should call this a voice, but something came into my head and this thought. And I realized it was the Holy Spirit after the fact. But it said to turn around in the dark. So I turned around like this and flashed, you know, the flashlight. This is a black cover. In the dark, in the grass, on the ground, after I scanned the whole field. And that feeling of peace just came over me, totally unexpected. But in relationship to this message, it's like, you should expect God to be there at the moment in time where you least expect it, where you think you're alone and exasperated, because we shouldn't rely on our cell phones for life, right? But it just seemed relevant right now that I just wanted to share that story with all of you.
Yeah, the moral of that story is people or animals can bring crap into our lives, and God is still going to see us through. Anybody else like to share this morning before we go to communion? Yes.
My name is Vanessa, and I'm going to try to get through this, but about 15 years ago, I made a choice that rocked my world, broke up my marriage, and affected my son's lives. My oldest son didn't speak to me for about a year, and I just want to speak some hope for you today, because if you've ever experienced this or are experiencing it now, that there is hope for reconciliation for relationship. And then I know that affects a lot of us here in our community by the choices we make, by the people we choose to be with, that it's hard. It's really hard. So I want to speak encouragement. And the way I want to do that is I'm a Grammy now. I have two granddaughters, and I love them to pieces, and I get to spend a lot of time with them. And my oldest son is the father of these two girls. And through these years, the Holy Spirit has really worked in all of our lives. And I love my son because he's allowed, even though he doesn't profess to be a believer or a Christian or have any faith, he believes in something that moves through us and in our world and makes a difference. And we had a conversation through texting yesterday because I take care of the girls a lot, and he was expressing his thanks to me for doing that. And he sent, I'm sorry, I'm shaking. He sent something to me that touched me so deeply, and it really is relevant for hoping for change in your life if you're struggling right now with relationship. God can make a difference through his Holy Spirit, however you want to term Holy Spirit. She can make a difference. He said to me, my family is our family. There isn't a difference. There's one of the things that does set us apart as family from others. So many lessons and tribulations and good times. And at the end of each story, no matter how long or deep or happy or sad, we will always end up standing right next to each other. What an incredible blessing. And his words touched me so much. I just want to speak encouragement to all of you.
Well, this took long enough that I decided what it was I was going to talk about. Because I have to first say, be careful when you ask God what God wants of you. Because it's shocking sometimes. God has turned my life upside down more times than I can say. But I'll give one example. I had been to Israel-Palestine in January of 08, and I knew that last day I was standing on the curb talking to somebody saying, I know I'm not done here, but I don't know what that means. Well, they, Palestinians need a voice, voices. So I came home and I put together a PowerPoint, went around and told people what was going on. And about a year later, I had loaned a book to somebody, got it back. And I thought, well, now what do I do? Do I give them another book? Do I recommend a trip, a tour, somebody to go with? And it just came to me, you take him there. You take people there. And I thought, I can't do that. I've been there one time. I've never done anything like that in my life. And I went to church. It was a Sunday morning. And I went to church that day. And the scripture was the burning bush. You go set my people free. And I thought, okay. And I asked the pastor. I was visiting the church where I had done an internship. And I said, if I take a group next January to Israel-Palestine, will you go with me? And he said, yes. And he did, as well as another member of the church. But that what has happened through that moment of listening to that one time, how rich my life has been. I have taken, Matt and Jeff aren't here today, but David and Phil and Rich and Nick came with me the last time, but I just, it's hard often, it's challenging, but the blessings that come when you listen to what God calls you to are absolutely incredible, and you're given what you need, and that's what is the most amazing. I had no idea I could do anything like that, and I've taken 5 groups now. I've been there 7 times. It's just phenomenal. So, but just know that when you ask, it can really turn things around in amazing ways.
Anybody else? I don't want to leave anyone. Me.
Expectations. Sometimes on a daily basis, on expectations, we walk in the neighborhood around town, we walk in downtown, walk to the car or something, and then you see a can on the ground or some trash, and expect, oh, other people would pick that up later. But now I've been practicing, the expectation is on me in the here and now, so I have to pick that up and throw in the trash. And sometimes when you walk around our city, we have, as I've learned from Urban City Angels, you see countless of homeless people everywhere. There's no escaping that now. They're everywhere. So what I usually do, I have, look them in the eye and, you know, acknowledge their humanity and say hello. And don't put that off. The expectations is on me and on us in the here and now. So don't let that opportunity pass us by. Once it's gone, it's gone. You could not do that again. You cannot wait for tomorrow. I'm going to help this guy. We have to do it now. On that note, later on, I see me at the table, table. I have a few items that we packed together, so you could take that with you. And if you see a homeless person out on the streets, then you could hand something. In your bag or in your car, or something on a daily basis. So as I said, expectations is on me, on us in the here and now. Thank you.
Marcia.
When you have a job for a long time, it's hard to let go of your identity as that job. I was a teacher for a long time, and I still introduce myself as, I used to be a teacher. So what? What else can you do? So my husband's in the same position now. He's been a corporate librarian for 20 years, and his division was laid off. And so he's been seeking what the next step is. And we've been looking into the idea of moving to Maui so he can do some artwork and some different things. But what I wanted to say, this is a phone story. So I told him to call our brother-in-law, who has also been out of work lately, and I said, just call Jim. Jim knows how to roll with it, just deal with him. So Jim and Greg spoke for about 45 minutes, and Jim said, you know, I think this was a God-powered phone call because I've been on 2% for 45 minutes.
I'll just try to end on something a little lighter here, but we all kind of have an expectation of having and acquiring material things, and I had, so where I live, which is near here in North Park area, I had this really cool big clay armadillo that was like this big and so high on my porch ledge, and somebody stole it. And so I was feeling like all distraught this week over losing it, and then I realized, well, like in the overall scheme of things, this is not a big thing, and you can't take things with you, so it kind of gave me, I mean, I'm still, you know, bothered by it, but it just gave me a different expectation, I mean, a different realization of what's important. And if anyone does see anybody walking around with the armor, would you please bring it to Mission Gathering and put it up on the table?
Or if you've lived in Texas where they actually have live armadillos, most of them are dead, look along the side of the road, and if you see something upside down, that may be his armadillo.
Hi, I'm Karen. So you inspired me to say a little bit of my story. I lost my job, so I moved to California for a job for a company that I really believed in, trusted, and because I saw something that I thought was putting somebody in danger, I spoke up and I lost my job. And I thought I was doing the right thing. And it broke my heart because it was a company that I had bought, a company that I used to work for, and it was, like, amazing, you know, whatever. Anyway, and since then, it's been really hard to find my feet. And every job I joined, something happened with funding, or I had a terrible boss that was just really aggressive, or, like, it was a horrible situation. I'm like, why does this keep happening? And I wasn't going to church then, like 3 weeks ago. A lot of stuff happened aside from that, and it was like last straw, like, come on. I started praying. I started going to church. And I get this opportunity, job opportunity, which is fantastic. It's like working with, like, NASA, if I get one of the projects, like, amazing stuff. And the doctor, the head guy, is a pastor, too. And he wrote a book about, like, being a good dad and, like, being a nice, like, I don't know, like, fatherly figure, and I'm like, what? And I just want to say, like, I don't know, I started going to church, and all these great things started happening, and I don't feel alone anymore, and it's just really happy, and this is my second week here, so I'm really happy to be part of this, and, you know, there's hope, you'll find it.
Anybody else?
Hello again. I just wanted to say that God is faithful and he keeps his promises. And when you set your expectation to be that God is faithful and he will keep your promise, you know, your life and your relationship just opens up and explodes from there. So this is my girlfriend, Kristen. We moved here about 2 years ago with very little expectations. We had an apartment secured. We didn't have jobs. But we knew that God had called us to this place for whatever reason. And so it was a completely faith-based move. We didn't know where we were going, and there were so many times where we were literally just relying on God to get rent paid, to eat something, to, you know, have the means that we've had. And just through staying faithful, and that's not to say that we haven't struggled, because, you know, God, if he calls you to something, he's not calling you out of that struggle. He's calling you to do something greater through that. So all of those tests have just increased our faith, you know, tenfold. So we recently started coming here about 6-7 months ago, and just wandered in, just Googled, you know, LGBT-friendly churches. This one popped up, and we just wandered in and immediately felt home. But I also wanted to give a testament to why you see me there singing is because that was something that God had to lead me to. One day we came in and, you know, in the midst of struggle, feeling completely defeated, I was just sitting in the audience crying the entire worship, just crying. And there was a woman in front of me, and she just turned and hugged me and embraced me. And in that moment, I just felt God's love and God's presence telling me that you are here for a reason, and that, you know, he has put you in this place to do amazing things and to bless others. And that day, Eric talked about stepping outside of your comfort zone. Do something that, you know, you really don't feel comfortable doing, and I really only sing in the shower. So, you know, that day, you know, I was just, the seed had been planted, and we were exiting, and as we were exiting, someone on the stage just looked at me and said, "Hey, you look like you can sing." I kid you not, because it, and I just, and she, and of course, she was like, "She can, yeah, she can." So that, I just, you know, sang like, I don't know, 16 notes, and from then, you know, it's been such a joy and such a blessing to me to be able to minister and worship with you all. So when I say that, you know, God is faithful and he keeps his promises, I didn't know that I needed God to bless me by putting me in the place where I'm able to worship with you. You know, so when you set your expectation again that God is faithful and he will keep his promise no matter what, it's not always going to be easy, and it's not always going to be what you want and what you think that you want, but if you just follow that voice, you're going to be blessed tremendously, so far beyond what you think.
Don't want to leave. Lenny.
So it was about a year ago that I really got sick. It was last April. And started getting migraine headaches. And blood pressure went up. Went to the doctor. He threw all kinds of pills at me. And some of the pills actually raised my blood pressure. So, you know, what do you do? And I just constantly pray. And what do you do when it seems like God doesn't answer your prayers? And to make a long story short, I was sort of writing a book about poetry. I'm not really a poet, but the Lord sort of inspired me. I was looking at Lamentations, and it's about lamenting over your problems. And let me just sum up what finally happened. Sometimes we put our expectations where they don't really do much good. And so this comes out of Lamentations, when our prayers don't seem to do anything. When troubles come at as deep night and shut me in death's dark coffin, my prayers locked in by nails so tight, no escape. Stomach sours rotten, now mocking any joyous past, until finally I give up all at last. Ready to change selfish expectation to what God will bring surprise, his loyal love in personal relation, be now each morn, each sunrise. All good things by his diligence, born spirit's goal to my patience. And that's sometimes what it takes, just patience in the Lord. And since that time, I've been healing slowly, gaining weight finally, and really appreciating the patience that God will give you.
Testimony. I might cry, but it's my mother's song. He touched me. Oh, yes, he touched me. And now I know the Lord is ours. Something happened. Church, I would like to join it. very much because my daddy was a minister, a Baptist minister. We went to rest homes where people can't get out. And I sang and played piano. I can't play anymore. But at least my voice is still here. And I just want to tell everybody here that I love you with all my heart.
I think we've started something this morning.
I just want to say that I'm very blessed that I'm here. For a long time, I held anger because I lost two sisters, one to domestic violence and one to suicide. So it was very hard for me. I was losing faith, and I would ask God, why did you take my sisters away? And it was very difficult for me. And I started coming to this church and being more happier that I felt comfortable coming to this church. You know, I feel like being here has made me learn patience, that things happen for a reason, and which I already knew, but I just, for that long that I was, you know, holding the anger and losing my two sisters, and, you know, all the five things that you go through when you lose someone, anger, denial, all that, and so it was very difficult for me, and I started coming here, like, 6 months ago. My wife, her friend, is part of the church, Mara, and Mara invited my wife, and we started coming here, and I just feel very blessed that I'm starting to feel better.
Maybe one more person. Yes.
My daddy was a minister, and he, when I say Bates, he hit the floor. The voice, I mean. Him and I sang a duet, and everybody stood up in our church. And I loved him for that. And tears were coming down. But I love this church, and I would like to join, if you don't mind.
We can definitely get you involved, yes. Thank you for sharing that this morning. Maybe you don't feel comfortable sharing in a large congregation like we have today. And since Emmy put in a plug for Urban Street Angels, I'm going to put one more plug in for the small groups. We have small groups that meet right now on Tuesday and Wednesday nights. It's the perfect setting to share what God is doing in your life in that small, intimate setting. Not only are we doing Bible study or book study, but it's a time for you just to share what's going on in your life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So if you want to know more about those groups, or if you'd like to start one in your own home, that would be awesome. Come see me in Sacred Grounds after church. But I also would encourage you today, just from the sharing that took place, last week they were set up, and they're also set up again today for this Lenten season. We have four stations kind of located throughout the church, mainly in the middle towards the back. And maybe you have a stone that you need to cast aside, something that you've been holding on in your heart that you just need to let go of. You might want to check out the station over here. If you want to go back to the back where the mirror is, maybe there's something that when you look at yourself, you just are really troubled by. And you maybe need to say a prayer this morning and ask forgiveness in that moment. There's also a station in the back that has some cloths and a bowl of water. Maybe you need to be cleansed from something. And I think what the sign says is maybe there's a prejudice that you hold on to that you need to be cleansed from. So there's that station. And then some people were sharing about the gifts that God has given them, like Nancy's, like go to Israel. Don't go like Abraham and leave Ur, but it's like leave San Diego and go to Palestine. Maybe you have a gift that you want to exercise, and maybe you just can't share it right now. There's some slips of paper over here with a box. You can put that thought in that box, and maybe it'll become a reality in the weeks ahead. But thank you all for sharing today. Like I said earlier in the message, I don't know what God's plans are for you. He has a special one for each one of you. I don't know what religion may have done to you that says you have to behave a certain way to be loved and accepted. Jesus said, all you need to do is to trust me, to follow me, and I will give you eternal life. And finally, in terms of experience, don't get caught up too much in the future. Like I said, who knows what tomorrow is going to hold? But as we encounter today by people sharing of their experience in the here and now, it shows that God is actively at work in so many people's lives, including your own. And as we go to communion right now, we can remember what Jesus said on that last night that he was with his disciples. When he was gathered around the table and he had disciples who loved him immensely, and even had a disciple who was going to betray him, he wanted them to be mindful of what was going to happen in the days ahead. And so when he took the bread and he broke it, he said, this is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he took the wine and he poured it into glass and he said, this is my blood poured out for you, a new covenant for forgiveness of sins. Drink of it. Now here at Mission Gathering and with the Disciples of Christ, we don't have expectations that you have to be part of our denomination. We don't have expectations that you've had to go to Sunday school X number of years in your life. We just expect that you come forward and say, hey, Lord, I'm willing, I'm here, I'm available, I want to commune with you, with my brothers and sisters today. So I'm going to ask my communion servers if they could come up right now. Both these glasses have grape juice. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity today to gather in your house, not only to worship in song, but to look at scripture and see just what you expect of us. Lord, all that really is a faith in you, a trust in you to see us through. Thank you for this moment that we're going to share together now around the table. Thank you for the work that you did on the cross that we're so mindful of during this Lenten season. And thank you for the life, the whole life, the everlasting life that you talked to Nicodemus about that we can even experience even into this day as we experience our lives together. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Come when you're ready. God is ready.